Hello, my friends, it's Andy and Hedia coming live from Yorba Linda, California for the Living Fearless Devotional.
A production of ResurrectMinistry.com, where we're harnessing the power of the internet to share the gospel across the world. We're so excited to share this content with you. We hope you find that it enriches your walk with Christ, whether it's worship bands or pastors you may never have heard of, or Bible resources, past articles I've written for the Christian Post, our past episodes of the podcast. Please check it out. Let us know what you think. Drop us a line. We love to hear from you. If you have questions, comments, suggestions, we welcome all of it. And if this content blesses you in any way, we would love two things. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. We get emails all the way from Russia and India saying, you have so many views on your videos and yet you have no subscribers and you put so much content out. That's a shame. Can we help you? So
can we buy some Russian
bots?
Bots, some people.
Right. Even when they're not Russian so bots, Russian get accused subscribers. Of being.
Yeah.
That would be a great blessing and a help to us if you could subscribe and click the donate now button. If that's of interest to you, partner with us. We would love that too.
That'd be great. And I think our picture looks much better today. You don't see that?
We're a little brighter. We have more lights on.
Yeah, I brightened up the, I don't know what it's called, but I made the light more white. There's a name for that.
Oh, I thought I made it warmer. I made them both warm yesterday. Well, they were too gray. They were too blue. I made them yellow.
Oh.
Did you change them after that?
Yes, I made this one a little bit more white to match that one. But it's still a little bit yellowish. Maybe it's a good combo that way.
Oh,
I don't
okay.
know. We're experimenting, but I think it looks good. I mean, not that I look great, just the colors look better.
Better, yeah. I still yeah. think it's a little dark.
Really?
Yeah.
What y'all think? Let us know
y'all
what you think.
Thing.
Make sure you comment as we are broadcasting. So if there's something that those of you that are watching live and even those that are watching the replay, if there's something about the devotional that hits you in a certain way that you want to speak out about, or if there's something we say that you want to comment on. And quite often I ask for help from the audience on words or meanings of something. So please participate. And anytime I ask you to put something in the comment, that would be great if you would respond with something. Like right now, everybody say hi and where you're watching from. That would be fantastic. The next thing I want you to do is down in the description, you'll see our sponsors. LifeWise is one of those companies. It's a Christian-based company that has great supplemental products, including a vitamin that's called The One, which is all you're going to need for your vitamin needs, because every vitamin is in there. The list is long. I used to have the package here. I was going to hold it up, but I got rid of it. And then also go to StreamYard, getstreamyardnow.com. That will allow you to broadcast one of your hobbies or a devotional. If you want to read the Bible daily to your audience, you could do that using StreamYard. You'd be able to share the screen if you want to go to Bible Gateway or something like that and show people what it is you're reading from. All those possibilities are very easy for you to do those things in StreamYard. Go to getstreamyardnow.com. And in your Bibles, you're going to want to go to Exodus 34, 29 through 35. Exodus 34, 29 through 35. We'll be reading that a little bit later. Let's do something first. Let's see who's watching. We got Lisa, Kate, Carrie, and that's it. They have lots of comments. They're all saying hi. They follow directions very well. I love that. You both are showing more than background.
Meaning we're more prominent in that.
Yes.
Is that good?
That's kind of the goal.
Is it? Oh, yes. Good. Okay.
Based on what...
it's a wee bit dark.
Based on what the YouTube peeps are saying, is that you want to kind of blur the background, make it more subtle,
yeah,
and bring yourselves out to the forefront is the key.
Good.
So
could you give me back my touch-up?
Yes. There you go. Back on you. All right. We're reading from A.W. Tozier for The Christian Leader for April 4th.
You didn't read the fact that Kate said it. She thinks it's too dark too.
What? Where?
I agree with Hedy. It could be a wee bit lighter.
Really?
Yes. Lisa agrees.
But we're wearing dark clothes. Is that not maybe? No.
No.
Okay. I'm going to wear a bright pink shirt tomorrow. April 4th, long before the Lord is the title of this devotional. And Exodus 34:34 is the reference that says, but when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. It is written of Moses that he went in before the Lord to speak with him, and he came out and spake unto the children of Israel. This is the biblical norm from which we depart to our own undoing and to the everlasting injury of the souls of men. No man has any moral right to go before the people who has not first been long before the Lord. No man has any right to speak to men about God who has not first spoken to God about men. And the prophet of God should spend more time in the secret place praying than he spends in the public place preaching. One swallow does not make a spring, nor one hot day a summer. Nor will a few minutes of frantic praying before service bring out the tender buds or make the flowers to appear on the earth. The field must be soaked in sunshine over a long period before it will give forth its treasures. The Christian's heart must be soaked in prayer before the true spiritual fruits begin to grow.
Quiet my heart today, Lord. Slow me down, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
It's a great analogy, right? You can't just sprinkle a little bit of water and expect a flower to come out. The fields must be soaked in sunshine.
Yes.
It is the constant theme this week for a while for Tozer, the importance of prayer. And we talked about that yesterday, but did we talk about it in the devotional where I was listening to Jackie Perry? And she's like, we can't just, she's like, Americans are kind of arrogant. We just show up and think it's enough. And it's just such an American thing to do, to not get on our knees before the Lord and be prayerful and thoughtful. Lord, what do you want to say to your people today? What can I give them that is from you? Not that's from me, but what is it from you that I can give them? And then expect to hear from the Lord, to be in a conversation with him before you just create content for the purpose of creating content.
Right. Yeah, there is that difference that I feel now of actually spending time with God, as opposed to just spending a couple hours on Sunday with God that right. I used to do, and then feel like you can talk to a bunch of people about God because I heard, you know, the pastor on Sunday talk about Matthew, the book of Matthew in some sort.
Right.
And that's the only book he reads from. No. Yeah, just going to church on Sunday doesn't make you a biblical scholar.
No.
So you do have to spend time with him. You do have to read the devotionals. It does help to have people like A.W. Tozer and Wigglesworth and all those types that we can go to them to see what their interpretation. Is that okay to say?
Well, I mean, they give you nuggets.
Yeah.
It's good nugget teaching devotionals.
It helps to get their perspective because in my shallow understanding sometimes of what the scripture is saying, it'll just point to one, like, very one-dimensional thing.
Yeah.
Where people like A.W. and Wigglesworth, they make it three-dimensional. They give you a lot more context. It puts you in the moment. They give you like the background of, you know, what was going on at the time that this particular book was written. All that is very helpful when you want to understand God and his motivations and his purposes at the time.
Absolutely.
I think that's very helpful. Because you can take it to mean something entirely different if you don't understand the context of,
sure,
of where the book comes from. And knowing whether it's Old Testament or New Testament. I mean, I think I even struggle with that I don't think I even knew half the time if I was in Old Testament or New Testament. Which I think is interesting now because somebody will say something. I think it was yesterday, day before yesterday, I shocked myself. I said, well, you know, that's Old Testament. I don't know what we were talking about.
food.
But I acted very smart at that moment. And it kind of made me like, oh, I actually knew that that reference, whether you meant it or not, was an Old Testament.
Yeah. Old Testament law.
Old Testament law. Yeah. So all that stuff is very helpful because then, you know, it makes it a little bit better when you are speaking. And again, this book is talking to Christian leaders, people of authority, supposedly, not the average Joe who's newly become a Christian, because I don't want to make people think that they can't talk about their experience with their relationship with God. They don't necessarily have to have a whole, you know, doctrinal background or study to be able to talk about how God has affected them. This particular discussion mostly has to do with people who are leading a church or, or pastors. So, but we do get called up to speak sometimes. Do you think that
called up to speak,
like to speak at a church, like you have spoken at churches?
Sure.
Your understanding of the Bible now.
But I'm not called to preach. I'm giving a testimony.
But it puts you in a little bit better position when those questions come in.
What does?
Your knowledge that you sat down and actually
studied the Bible. Sure.
I think it's, you know, your talk would be just about you and your experience, but you've been able to actually refer to references of the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, how Israel is felt, why we need to be friends with Israel, why we love them. I think that only comes with knowledge of the Bible.
Yes.
Not just with relationship with God.
True. When you seek knowledge, seek wisdom, gain understanding. I can't remember. Carrie cited it yesterday. It was Proverbs. So important, seeking wisdom.
What's Carrie saying?
Our sound is bad. You know, Carrie, you know, we've went through a lot of things with the sound. But they basically have lowered our levels so that it's equal to everything that's on the Real Life Network. And so I noticed, I told Andy the same thing. When I was listening on Facebook, I could barely hear on my phone. So that's a thing that we can't, that we can't really fix. Sorry about that.
Yeah, we have to, I think we need to let them know. Because they keep saying, well, it sounds good now. Every time we've lowered the volume, I think they just don't want to hear us.
Could be that too.
Maybe that's their whole purpose.
Could be that too. But
the last couple of times, go, oh, no, that sounds really good. Now you guys really sound like at the best level. But as soon as we did that, it's hard for some people to hear us.
Yeah.
They have to turn their volume on their phone all the way up. If
they're watching. Yeah, I turned it all the way up. I still couldn't hear.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm losing a little bit of my hearing.
Yeah, well. That's what happens.
Along with everything else. So Carrie says also, I'm doing the research and finding out what people were doing and how they were living in that context and what makes it exciting, although devotionals and other sections are good too.
I'm picking up what she's putting down.
What is it?
That she's researching to know more about the context of the books.
Sure.
But it is, you don't, you still, the devotionals and other things that she's reading are good to make sure that you just learn other people's perspectives.
Okay.
Other than the study and the history of the, you know, of the facts of that time.
Okay.
Yep. That's great. That's what I'm picking up.
That made Carrie laugh.
What does the scripture say? Does that give us any more nuggets that we?
Oh. I love it. It's if you think about, well, I'll say it after, but it actually has come up repeatedly in sermons we were listening to. And I think Pastor Bob even mentioned it, this concept of his face shone of Moses. So this is a story of Moses talking to God, of course, on Mount Sinai, and then coming down and speaking to the Israelites. Now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and it's in a parenthetical, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them the commandments, all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went into the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out, and he would come out and speak to the children of Israel whatever he had been commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. And the Lord repeats three times that his face shone. And when you think about it now, with us having the indwelling of the Lord, the Holy Spirit within us, we even have greater claim to our face being shiny. And it's something we should strive for, just to have a face that shines from being in the presence of the Lord, whether it's from prayer or reading his word, what have you, that that our face would shine with faith and with devotion to the Lord as a testimony of our discipline.
Well, I mean, your facial expressions can be a huge part of that first contact with somebody, that first impression you're making. So if you're a Christian and you are just so grateful for everything that God has done for you, and you're in that mode of talking to somebody, they can see it right away in your countenance and in your face and in the tone of your voice and in the way that you're talking.
Yes.
So I think that's, I mean, if I just spent, I felt like my face was shining. I don't want to say shiny because it gets shiny when I'm sweaty, but the reference here is shone.
But it's the past tense of shining.
Yeah. The moment that I was in Utah and Jesus was standing in front of me, I felt like
there was a refractory.
Like I was like glowing because the internal side of me was like so full of love. So that love, the love light was coming out of my pores.
That's awesome.
At least that's how I felt.
I felt that at times.
Because even people around me who barely knew me goes, hey, did something happen to you? Like there was like this comment, like, are you okay? Like, is everything good? You look like you're in a daze, like you're in shock. And this stupid grin on my face, like, wow, that was really,
it's a radical encounter.
So nice. And then I think of in when you're reading this passage, I kind of got kind of slightly distracted because I thought about Aaron. Freaking Aaron. Like, I just don't understand. He's experiencing all this stuff because he's there with Moses, because Moses has difficulty talking.
Right.
So Aaron's there the whole time.
Right.
And yet, and then he goes down there creates the golden idols. And I mean, a whole bunch of nonsense. What's up with Aaron? I think he had a screw loose.
How many times does that happen?
I know, but like he was
right there.
I remember
the story of Carl Lentz watching that documentary.
Yes.
You're like, wait a minute. How? Why? Why?
Yeah. I mean, this is not something that's biblical or, you know, it's not based on necessarily the discussion we're having. Although you have this Shitone, I think his name is. I can't remember. You guys that know baseball know what his name. He's a Japanese player. I think he's a pitcher. He played for the Angels. Maybe he still does play for the Angels. I don't know. But he only speaks Japanese. So he's been in this country now, I don't know how many years, 4 or 5 years. And he's got this interpreter. Well, it's not clear, but they tried to say the interpreter was gambling and taking the pitchers. The pitcher is like one of the highest paid players in baseball, making millions of dollars a season, like $50 million a season. Wow. He's got like a $500 million contract, something huge.
Okay.
And the interpreter is getting paid tons of money. But there's also this thought like, wait a minute.
Okay, what happened? I don't know.
They got caught gambling. You can't gamble in sport. If you're a baseball player, you can't gamble.
Oh, so who was gambling?
That's where I'm getting to, is that they thought it was the interpreter. But a lot of people believe that it's actually the pitcher who was gambling. So what I'm thinking of Aaron. You got this pitcher who's making the most money possible playing a game. hundreds of millions of dollars. And that's not enough. He's got to then gamble it to see if he can make more money. Like the sin.
Lust.
It's just the lust after things. Like what? And I would say maybe it was the interpreter, but the interpreter is getting paid $300,000 a year to be his interpreter. All he does, he doesn't even play baseball. He just falls around and you know, he just goes, yeah, he said, konnichiwa, hello, or thank you, goodbye. And that's all he's doing. $300,000 a year.
Not bad.
But you think of this, like, here are these guys that have so much.
They like, still give it away.
You could be in the presence of God and then say, you know what? I think this other God might be better. Like, you just saw what this God can do. You were there when you went through the Red Sea. You were there. You saw the stick turn into a serpent. You saw the locusts. And you think there's going to be a better God? Like, you want, what more do you need? Sorry, I'm getting so, that's why our volume needs to be low. But I'm just like, so crazy. Like,
it is.
What the hell, heck? Such nonsense.
Oh, you know what Jackie says instead of, oh my gosh? Oh my lands. So she doesn't use the gosh, girl, golly. She avoids the whole controversy. She says, oh my lands. I was like, that's a good one.
Yeah, what is with people though?
I don't know.
It's like me wanting to get a different wife.
What?
Like, why would, yeah. I have the best wife possible.
Why did like, you gotta use that example?
Because there's no, I'm like, why would I do that?
But this is different.
Oh.
Worship is different. I mean, temptation, lust of the flesh is not different. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Those are the three temptations of which everything on earth that tempts us is categorized as. There's nothing new under the sun. But it is old habits that die hard, right? They had just left Egypt. That was familiar to them. It's what they knew. And when they suddenly felt insecure, actually, I was listening to Jackie again today, and she was talking about her old life, and her and her husband were discussing what fell off of you first, like what required the sanctification process for you to get rid of and what left immediately. And we've had similar discussions sometimes on between us too. It's like, you know, so she said smoking pot was easy to drop. She's like, but then going to clubs, she loves music. She says, but going to clubs and that kind of stuff was really, really hard. Like I had to get sanctified to do that because I really had to fight my flesh. So our habits are so dangerous. They lead us away from God because they're just comfortable and familiar. And she has this really great quote where she said, where she was talking about how Christians think that following Jesus is boring, but it's just because they're used to a life that is so sinful. They don't know the joy of purity. They never experienced the joy of purity. So they're like, how could I have joy if I'm not doing any of those things that bring me joy?
Right.
No point of reference for the joy of purity. So similar to Aaron, the first thing they do when they become insecure, because Moses hasn't been around for 40 days, is build a bonfire, melt everything down, and create a cow out of it. You know?
Think of all things, white cow.
Well, you know why though? But you know what? And the reason I tell the example of Jackie, she says that she would catch herself being like stressed out, upset about something, and being like, maybe I could just go grab a shot of tequila at the bar down the street. That's what Aaron did. It's so common. We go back to the spirits, right?
Yeah.
How many people go back to the spirits? How many times did you go back to the spirits? Did I go back? How many times have you sworn to yourself, oh, I'm not going to do that again, and you just fall right back into it?
Yeah.
So it's not as far away from us today, I think, than we would hope.
Well, that was BG.
Before Jesus.
Before God.
Before God.
That was before. It was easier just because we didn't have an alternative. We didn't have God. I mean, it was there, but we just didn't partake.
No, we were Christians at the time.
Yeah, but again, I was Christian in name only. I didn't really have God. I mean, that's the difference. Like, you have the choice. Are you am I going to be weak for something so silly, stupid?
No, this is post Utah that we were drinking.
But it wasn't because it was an alternative to God. We just thought it was okay.
It was not an alternative. It was not an alternative, but it was an alternative in the sense that instead of doing godly things to have fun, we're like, let's go to a happy hour. We fell back into old patterns because they were familiar. Mm. And we thought that's what fun means.
Like a blanket.
Like a blankie.
Like a passive blankie. Yeah, let's go do that.
Let's go do that because that's what's familiar. Mm. You know, whether it's to relieve stress or to have a good time. I mean, Aaron, the way I envision it, and I don't know if it's because I saw some Moses movie, but they were dancing around this giant bonfire. They were partying.
Yeah.
And they were dancing and playing instruments and melting gold and, you know, maybe barbecuing a pig. I don't know. But I just had this vision of them being just crazy because that's what they did.
And then we learned when we went to San Diego that we can go and have a party and it's way better.
Well, exactly. That's what Jackie was saying, is that you learn to enjoy the Lord's blessing that comes from purity.
Yes.
You know, there's just a majesty that comes from it that you don't know until you live it.
Look at Corrine. She's on the road again. I think, wasn't she in Hawaii like a couple weeks
ago? Yes, you're having a lot of fun, Corrine.
Yeah, now she's in Lake Tahoe.
I think her kid's all grown up, so she gets to explore. Is it snowing now? Because I know the weather's been so weird. I wonder if it's snow right
probably
now.
Is.
And Carrie said she's seen her husband's face sunshine like that. Oh, I love that. That's so beautiful.
Very cool.
And Lisa says, lately, my desire just keeps getting stronger to connect with God and get a clear sense of his presence throughout my day. I love it. So beautiful. And Lisa says, me too, Carrie. Definitely a data junkie. Oh, that's in response to Carrie saying, I love research.
Yeah.
Yes, Lisa, for sure. Lisa, I too, and I think many others are as well. And Carrie saying, maybe Aaron had weak faith. Yes. And being a people pleaser. Yes, that too. Lisa saying, I'm reading the book of James and I'm praying for God not to let me resist the convicting and confirming power of his Holy Spirit and to keep me sensitive to his work in me. Mm-hmm. Amen. We had a great speaker at Pastor Jack's church last night, Mark Spence. I don't know how many of you guys have heard him preach, but it was awesome. Talk about convicting. I loved it.
It was really good.
Yeah.
It took a while, I think, for him to get going. But once he got going, it was like, wow, that's really great information.
And Creed says, there's lots of snow. Yay.
And so we didn't get a chance to go. We didn't go to church last night, we must confess.
No, we listened to the video.
Yes. But we did meet with a bunch of people that are of the Jewish faith.
Yeah, yes.
Jack tells us all the time to hang out with Jews and atheists. Not that Jews and atheists are the same thing.
Yeah.
He says, make sure you have friends that are atheists. Make sure you have friends that are Jewish.
Yes.
I
had a great opportunity. I had a fantastic conversation to witness about Jesus.
How'd that go?
It was amazing. It was fantastic. I really felt like I had a chance to plant a seed. I firmly believe I watered a seed. There were many before me who planted. I just think that she's just really struggling with letting it grow. She grew up in a family of two denominations of Muslims and Christians, not denominations, two different faiths. It made her very confused. And so she didn't understand who God, she still does not understand who God is. So I had a chance to explain it from my perspective, which was awesome. And to tell her that I would pray for her. And I prayed for her a lot last night. I prayed for her again today. I will do it today on the broadcast because I really feel that it's that time. She seems to be at a crossroads in her life. Mm. And that's just the best time that the Lord shows up.
Now, I spotted her right away. She sat at our table at this event that we were at. And I noticed that she had a jewelry on that was looked a little bit like new agey.
Yes, it was a little stuff. Like eye, like
an eye, a protecting for a necklace, eye, and then a snake for a ring that went across like 3 or 4 fingers.
Yes,
and so I caught that, but you caught it to meaning that she's confused about who God is, like you were just saying, what she's looking for. God, it seems like a God.
Yes,
and maybe unfortunately. Was in going in the wrong direction.
Yeah, and it's something that happens a lot to Persians in particular.
Oh, really?
They're very turned off to Islam, and Christianity seems somewhat foreign, and there's this huge push for New Agey stuff, yoga, meditation, mm-hmm. all these other things that attract them. Of course, it is the fastest growing church in the world too, so thank God Jesus is always on the move. So I just think that they need a little encouragement to find solace, to find saving faith in Christ.
Did you get an understanding of what it was that she's looking for in these other gods? Is she looking for, and because if she's, you know, was, didn't like the Muslim faith because the god is not a loving God. I can see why that would be a no. Do you think that's what she's looking for? She wants to feel loved?
For sure. Mm-hmm. But I think she when I told her, she said what stuck with her about Islam was that God didn't need a son. And I said, well, it wasn't that God needed a son. God needed to come incarnate to relate to us. He was like us, except, and he had experienced all kinds of sin, but yet had not. He was tempted in all ways as man was, but did not sin. So he came to relate to us, to be able to pay that price so that he could plead on our behalf and pay that ultimate sacrifice that no one was able to abide by in the law. And she said, well, he never answers me. And I said, well, he will, I guarantee you. You know, it's just a matter of continuing to have that conversation and making sure you're open. And then she reveals a little bit later, I don't know if I'm open. And I said, well, that's in your hands, yeah. Whether you want to be open or not.
That's probably why she's not hearing from him. He's speaking, but she's not in the position to hear what he's saying and seeing how he is in her life.
Yes, exactly.
Wow. What's the follow-up?
What's the follow-up?
Yeah,
what's the follow-up? Well, we'll see her again next month. And I told her that I would be praying for her. And I prayed all kinds of prayers that the Lord would come to her in a miraculous way, that she would know it was him. Mm. Because that's another thing that happens. It also becomes like the guy with the boat and the rescue and God saying, I sent to rescue you, is that you hear message after message. Some people just refuse to accept that it's God.
Right.
Where one person comes to you and says this, and then another person comes to you and you're like, wait a minute, there is a theme, you know, but you're like, it can't be God.
You should have told her that story.
About people that came to rescue her?
Yeah, I sent 3 helicopters, a boat.
I didn't know how appropriate that would have been at the time. But yeah, I don't even know that that's her story, but I'm sure there were people who planted seeds before me.
Right. And then there was another couple. They weren't there was a girl that we know from previous events there too.
Yes.
And this time she showed up with a man.
With a bow.
The only reason I bring that up is because the thing that was common with everybody who saw her with Joey.
Joey.
His name, is that they all got super excited. Everybody went, oh my gosh. Like,
so excited.
She, to me, every time, I only know her from meeting her at this place.
Right.
But she's always so nice and happy and
good person.
Just seems to be a good person. But everybody seemed to be truly happy for her.
I love that.
Which I think is awesome.
Can you imagine folks walking into a place with a new, you know, a love interest, and that everybody just falls over themselves with how much they love you, that you're just like the greatest thing ever. So when you walk in, they're like, oh my God, you're dating her? Like, you must be amazing, because we know she's amazing. It was like, it couldn't have been scripted. You know, she's like, yes, I paid every single one of these people. It was really sweet. I told Andy, I was like, wow, like what a testament to who she is as a human being to have that experience. There wasn't a single person that didn't light up like a firecracker to know that she had a new beau.
And she's a Christian, right? I'm pretty sure she
good
is.
Question.
Yeah, what
the Christian. I don't know. No. Excuse me. No, she's Jewish. He's Christian.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, we'll I know have to for work sure on her. She needs to straighten up. She needs to be a Jew for Jesus.
The messianic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So overall, it was a good event. It was a conservative event. Jews who love this country, a lot of them were there. It's a great place that we go to with our friends. The house.
Yeah.
They're just really good people.
It's awesome.
All right. I'll give you a couple of minutes to let us know if you have any prayer requests that you would like us to include in the prayer. We'll be going to prayer in just a few moments. So if there's anything, I was thinking of, I do want to pray for my friend Nick again. I just feel like he's so, this is my,
why? My what workout, happened?
My coach. I don't know. He's so close.
On the cusp.
So close. And he has you should see his son. His son is so cute. Aww. A cute kid. Yeah. Like just a really seems to be a good kid. But I'm just, you know, he's in between hell and
heaven.
And I just don't know how to help him, make that transition. I mean, only God can only save God. Him. But I just want to say, bro, because he's always dealing with the question of whether he should go out and party or go out with the new girl, and I tell him all the time, dude, you got to focus right now on your son. Everything else will come. Focus on your son, be the best dad possible, being a good example to him. Being a good example isn't going out to bars and getting drunk. Being a good example is not.
Yeah, people have a hard time being alone.
He's not alone. He has a 6-year-old son.
He lives with him?
No, but he sees him a lot.
Yeah, but still. How much does he see him?
I told him to call me. I know.
Because you've got so much free time.
Well.
Oh my God.
Call me. I didn't say let's go out.
Oh,
call me and we'll talk. Hey, what's happening? No. Yeah, I probably wouldn't answer anyway. I normally don't answer my phone.
My God.
He may have called me like 10 times.
Right.
I'm surprised he didn't say, I have been calling you. I answer your phone. All right. What's Denise saying?
Denise says, please keep my adult children on your list. Can you give me their names, Denise? Because I was actually thinking of that last night as well. Both my sons have disowned me and my daughter's showing signs of doing the same. They just don't want to hear about Jesus. I gave them the gospel and now just pray for them. I don't know what else to do for them. God knows. Amen. Denise, we can't make people believe. Some people's eyes and ears are shut and it's up to the Lord to open it. And if you've given them the gospel and you've witnessed to them, there's just, you have to trust that the Lord, has a plan and a purpose for their lives as he does all of us. So, please give us their names so we can continue to pray. Never give up.
Yeah, for sure.
Same prayers for me and Eddie. Prayers for Shirley, 85-year-old who doesn't know Jesus. Shirley. Kids. Okay. And Lisa's praying for her kids. Okay. And siblings and family. Lisa, I think I'm going to need to get a list from you soon. Oh, yeah. I got lots of family members.
Kate.
Denise, let go. It's his job to save them. Love them enough to let them go.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I have a daughter, my oldest daughter, that we're seeing a little bit more often. It kind of comes and goes.
Yes.
But I'm grateful that she hasn't made that choice. Like, I'm not going to go around Hedy and Andy because all they do is talk about Jesus all the time.
Well, I think we're kind of tactful about it. I mean, we're not constantly like Jesus, you know, it's in the context of our lives, which is unavoidable. We went to church, we did this, we listened to that, we, you know, When she talks about having difficulty, we ask about prayer. You know, we try to be tactful about it. Mm-hmm. Because I think otherwise you risk repelling them for sure. So,
yeah.
Deanna, David, and Devon. Devin. Okay, so yeah, because you said it's two boys. So David and Devin and Deanna. Okay.
Kate says that Amir Safarti has asked for a prayer for Israel because something big is about to happen.
Yes, we saw this exhibit that they are doing, Bring Them Home. Is that what it's called? Hashtag Bring Them Home?
I believe so.
And it was all these cards with their faces on it, of all the hostages that still have not come home. And it really made me cry. She just started telling the story and it just made me start crying. And it's just such a tragedy of all the people and just the women. What made me cry is I'm very sensitive to rape victims. And so just talking about the girls, she says, you know, the girls that came home, yeah, they're alive, but their eyes are dead, you know, based on whatever they've suffered. It's just so horrible.
Oh, Denise has
A message Pastor Jack gave not long ago showed me I had my kids as my worship. I let go then and I'm thankful the Holy Spirit shows me if I bring them back. Denise, that's exactly what the Lord showed me directly in prayer in the midst of my storm with my daughter. It was a very, very difficult time. And as I was going through that, that's exactly what the Lord had said to me is you made your daughter an idol and I cannot have you do that. It changed me. Hearing those words changed me. So I get exactly what you mean. And we have to, we can't torture ourselves over something that is absolutely outside of our control. We had a job to do up to a certain age. And God willing, we did it. And after that, they're adults. They're of the age of responsibility. They've heard the gospel. They have to do with it what they will. They're our prodigals.
Okay. You got quite the list there.
I do. I'm hoping I can remember. You're going to have to help me if I don't. Okay. Sorry, folks. My daughter's not at home, so she's... Okay, she's coming out.
Indeed.
I cried enough. Yeah. Yes, sister. I know that feeling.
All right.
Okay. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to your throne of grace and receive the grace and the mercy that we need in our time of need. We are so grateful for the never-ending water of life that just fills our reservoirs full of faith and of healing and of joy as we go through the mountains and valleys of life, Lord. It's a weird, weird time on the earth. We're living in a tumultuous time. We're expecting your return any day, Lord. And meanwhile, we see people given over to a debased mind. We see nations fighting each other, such violence, such moral decay. And unfortunately, many of our loved ones and our family members have fallen victim to that, whether they have never been in the faith or they have fallen away from the faith, Lord, we ask that you draw them close. And whatever it takes to draw them near, Lord, whatever difficulty that is thrust upon them so that they could see your mercy and that you would be an ocean of safety, Lord. We are willing. We just want them to come to saving faith before they leave this earth. So we're praying for Denise's children, Deanna, David, and Devin, all of Lisa's adult children, their spouses, their loved ones, and her siblings, all of my family members, Lord. We just pray that they come to saving faith in Christ, that through the difficulty, through the challenges of this world, they see that Christ is the answer and that every tongue will confess and every knee shall bow that he is Lord. No one will come to the Father except through him. It's a difficult conversation sometimes, Lord. So give us boldness and give us courage to preach the gospel with love and compassion. And we know ultimately it is only you who saves. It's only you that can open the ears and the hearts and the eyes to be able to receive the message. And it's just up to us to make the gospel known, Lord. So give us the boldness to do so. And we ask for healing for Carrie and Eddie and for Kate, ongoing healing for her ailments and her knees, Lord. And do we have other prayers for healing?
Eddie and Carrie.
And all of those, all of our friends, Lord, they're suffering from some ailment. Jan, that we ask that you pray for her, that you give her healing. And my friend that's recovering from cancer surgery, Lord, such a painful and difficult process. And my new friend, Elale, Lord, I know you have the ability to show up in a miraculous way. So I just keep feeling that prayer to that she'll have a miraculous, a radical encounter with you. That's deeply personal, and she won't mistake it for anything else. We love you, Lord. We offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that we ask all things. Amen.
Amen. All right, my friends, we love you guys. Have a great
evening. It's a long list, Eddie. Yeah.
Sorry, a bunch of comments came in while we were praying. All right, my friends, we love you guys.
Love you.
God bless. Take care.
Bye.